This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In. Here on Intelligent Medicine, I'm your host, Layla Mutin. I'm a nutritionist. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. Here in private practice with Dr. Hoffman, we see patients on a daily basis. Here at our new offices at 635 Madison Avenue between 59th and 60th Street. If you'd like to make an appointment, 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. Speak to Grimaldi. She will set you up. All right, so we're into the new year. It's January. It's cold. The holidays are over. And if you're like most people, you've put on a few pounds over the holidays due to overindulgence in food and drink and all of that. And often what I see is that overindulgence can continue into the winter months, even into springtime, where I might see a patient or client in March or April and they're still complaining of those pesky 5 to 7 pounds that they've not shed since the holidays because they continue to eat those treats and things. And the culprit? Craving. Craving. Craving is defined as also false hunger. I'm going to go into that a little bit, but first I want to talk to you about a new review of scientific studies confirms food cravings can be reduced. And I'm also here to tell you myself that food cravings can indeed be reversed. Food craving, the intense desire to eat certain foods, can sabotage efforts to maintain healthy eating habits and body weight, no matter what time of year. However, an examination of 28 current peer-reviewed scientific studies largely substantiates findings that changes in diet, prescription medications, physical activity, and bariatric surgery reduce craving. Now, I am not a fan of bariatric surgery for weight loss. That has a whole host of other problems. You will wind up with nutritional deficiencies when you are not able to eat more than 500 to 800 calories a day. Believe me, it is true. So, not a fan of that. So, craving influences what people eat and their body weight, right? We crave, we eat, we gain weight. But there are some components of our behavior and diet that we have control over, say, these scientists. Okay, and this is a study coming out of Louisiana State University, LSU's Pennington Biomedical Research Center. Being mindful of these desires gives us more control over them. We know this already. Yeah, you're saying that's nothing new, being mindful. Absolutely. For example, one proven way to reduce the longing for a certain food is to eat it less frequently. In other words, it's better to remove something from your diet than to try to eat smaller helpings of it. And let me translate that to you even further. It's hard to have a little cookie every day because you continue to crave that cookie every day and you look forward to that cookie every day. However, if you eat it less frequently, say once a week, you know, have that dessert or cookie after Sunday dinner, you will crave it less. The abstinence thing really, really works. Eating those high carbohydrate, these high refined carbohydrate foods, sugar I'm talking about in particular, begets more craving for carbs. And there are many different ways to crave sugar. It's not just sugar in the cookie or the cake that you're having, right? That brownie, that milk chocolate that you're having. People crave sugar differently. They crave carbohydrates. Some people crave bread and potatoes and pasta and rice, all of those things, more starchy types of foods. They want pizza. They don't want cake or chocolate. They want a baguette with butter, a sandwich, something like that. Noodles. They want noodles. They want lo mein when they're having Asian food, right? They want noodles. And yet there are other ways of craving. Some people eat a lot of fruit. They'll eat 5 or 6 fruits a day, nibble on dried fruits. Dried fruit is concentrated sugar. That's a lot of concentrated fructose. And Mother Nature has it right. Mother Nature has made fructose the sweetest sugar on earth so that humans would crave it, so they would eat more, so they would fatten up for the upcoming famine, right? So there's the craving of sweets, your cakes, your cookies, your chocolate, all of that. That's sugar craving number one. Sugar craving number two, starches, breads, pastas, things like that. Number three is a lot of fruit, dried fruit, juice. Another way of craving sugar is milk. I've known people who would drink at least a quart of milk a day, can't live without it. They crave milk. It's the lactose. Could also be the casein, because the casein, that protein in milk, also the casomorphins, they attach to our opioid receptors in our brain and they calm us down. So that could be the other craving associated with milk. But normally it's the lactose more than anything, and lactose is sugar. Lactose, sucrose, fructose, maltose. And another way of craving sugar is actually alcohol. Many recovering alcoholics, people who have been sober, then become sugar addicts. It's the original craving. Again, Mother Nature set us up this way. So eating the food less frequently in this regard is often helpful. It reduces your craving for it. When you eat that food on a regular basis, that cookie, that bread, the juice, the milk, all of that begets more craving for it. But if you consume these foods much less frequently, the cravings will reduce. Take an alcoholic, for example. If you let that alcoholic have one drink a day, that's equivalent to your one cookie a day, your slice of bread, your serving of pasta, your potatoes, etc., right? Your chips. What does that do? That person only will crave more alcohol having had that one drink. It's the same thing. It's a proxy to sugar. So, other takeaways from this Louisiana State Biomedical Research Center review. Losing weight reduces food craving. But beware that exercise may increase cravings. And cravings account for as much as 11% of eating behavior and weight gain, more than genetics currently explain. Yeah, we crave, we eat. And because we're taking in more calories and more carbs, we're going to gain weight. There are medications out there, obesity drugs that can help reduce your craving, but at what cost? Possible heart arrhythmias or heart disease or other problems? You don't want side effects. You don't want to reduce your cravings by taking a drug. You want to reduce your cravings with abstinence. Abstinence really works for your food cravings. Abstinence really works for alcohol cravings. Abstinence really works for reducing cravings for drugs. You stop taking it, the cravings diminish. So the study goes on to say that different demographic and socioeconomic groups may have different responses to food cravings, but little is known about these potential differences, and more investigation is needed. Ultimately, food craving is an important piece of the weight loss puzzle. It doesn't explain weight gain 100%. A number of other factors, including genetics, eating behavior, these are also involved. We know this. And to further go on with the sugar and the relationship to alcohol, because that could also be another craving. And it's interesting. There have been a few case studies. Some people who have had bariatric surgery, you know, gastric bypass, so that they would eat less. There have been some very interesting case studies where those people started to, because they couldn't binge eat anymore, they started to binge drink alcohol. Interesting. So another way of getting your fix, that behavior, that underlying behavior still has not changed. That gastric bypass surgery, that bariatric surgery has not helped you change the behavior of craving. But you have the control to do that. By eating cake less frequently, by eating bread far less frequently, and all of that, you can diminish your cravings. Here's another study. Alcohol intake may be key to long-term weight loss for people with diabetes. Research shows that losing weight can help prevent or delay the onset of diabetes. While best practice for weight loss often includes decreasing or eliminating calories from alcohol, few studies examine whether people who undergo weight loss treatment report changes in alcohol intake and whether alcohol influences their weight loss. And this is a study out of the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing. It suggests that alcohol consumption may attenuate long-term weight loss in adults with type 2 diabetes. In the study, close to 5,000 people who were overweight and had diabetes were followed for 4 years. One group participated in intensive lifestyle intervention, and the other in a control group consisting of diabetes support and education. Data showed that the participants in the lifestyle intervention group who abstained from alcohol consumption over the 4-year period lost more weight than those who drank any amount during the intervention. Results from the study also showed that heavy drinkers in the lifestyle intervention group were less likely to have clinically significant weight loss over the 4 years. Wow. The study indicates that while alcohol consumption is not associated with short-term weight loss during a lifestyle intervention, it is associated with worse long-term weight loss in participants with overweight or obesity and type 2 diabetes. So patients with type 2 diabetes who are trying to lose weight should be encouraged to limit alcohol consumption. And let me tell you how alcohol really sabotages any weight loss effort at all. Number one, alcohol, a gram of protein has 4 calories. A gram of carbohydrate has 4 calories. A gram of fat has 9 calories. A gram of alcohol has 7 calories. First of all, you're taking in a lot more calories. If you're a heavy drinker, which here in the United States is defined as 2.5 drinks or more a day, let's put this in the context of wine, not a margarita. A margarita is going to have a lot more calories, right? Too. But say you're having a glass even of red wine. So say you're having 2 to 3 glasses of red wine a day, you're easily ingesting, about 400 more calories a day. Yeah, that's definitely more than a candy bar. So calories, yes, absolutely. Just as carbohydrate calories will increase your weight, it's really the carbs. What's really happening with alcohol, and it's the same thing that happens with sugar and other refined and starchy carbohydrates, is it's an insulin trigger. Alcohol is an insulin trigger. That's why that one glass of wine may be good for a diabetic, because it causes a little hypoglycemia, meaning it helps to lower blood sugar. But that's because that alcohol triggered insulin. That's what lowered that blood sugar. But really, the long and the short of it is, ultimately, alcohol, any amount, is really not beneficial at all in diabetes, in overweight, and certainly in heart disease. It can cause arrhythmias. It can cause atrial fibrillation. It can cause all kinds of problems. If you're a heavy drinker, cardiomyopathy, yeah. All kinds of problems. It's a mitochondrial poison, alcohol is. So alcohol being an insulin trigger, and as you know, insulin is a fat storage hormone. Having that alcohol, having that drink, whether it be a glass of wine, a beer, a margarita, some bourbon, neat, or a cookie, a slice of cake, a brownie, it's triggering insulin in the same way and causing weight gain. It causes us to metabolically go into fat storage mode. That's what's happening there. You're going into fat storage mode. So you want to beware of the insulin triggers. With regard to food, it's the refined carbohydrates and sugars and starches and all that kind of thing. Too much fruit will be an insulin trigger. Juice, all of that, those sources of sugar will be an insulin trigger. The lactose in milk, the sugar in milk, that will be an insulin trigger. The bread you're eating is an insulin trigger. The wine you're drinking, the alcohol you're having is an insulin trigger. So just giving up regular use of alcohol will guide any weight loss effort and the stabilization of blood sugar as well. Not to mention that you're ridding yourself of a mitochondrial poison. Alcohol is a poison to our mitochondria, as is sugar. Remember, alcohol is a proxy to sugar. So for those people, and I've had clients, you know, with and without diabetes who are struggling with weight loss, but insist on having that so-called healthy glass of red wine every night at dinner, that could be what's sabotaging their efforts. And I see this a lot, especially with people who are eating exactly perfectly, but are having that drink at night, that cocktail before dinner, that wine with dinner. When they are finally convinced to give that up, just as I said, do this as an experiment. Give it up for the next 3 weeks. Voila! Those pesky 5 to 7 pounds magically disappear. Alcohol, because it is so toxic to our bodies, also causes us to retain more water. Look at your face the next day after an evening of imbibing. And you will know this. You've just gotten through the holidays. Your face is puffy. You're just puffy. You're holding more water. In the same way that too many carbohydrates cause us to retain that water. Carbohydrate, there's water retention involved there too. And that's part of the weight that is shed when you embark on a low-carb diet. That is part of the weight that is shed is water weight when you give up drinking regularly, not having that glass or two of your wine at dinner or cocktail. Right? So these are things to keep in mind. It may be that, yes, you're eating perfectly, you're exercising, you're at the gym, you're a good soldier, you're doing everything right. But what may be sabotaging the effort or really slowing things down for you is that daily alcoholic beverage or two that you're having. So keep that in mind, that the alcohol intake may be key to what's keeping those pesky pounds on and not allowing you to shed it. Besides the fact that alcohol also robs our sleep, it increases our cortisol levels during the night, and that's why we wake up for no good reason or 2 or 3 in the morning. It's like, why did I wake up? It's the alcohol you had the previous evening. That's what happened. That's what happened. And that's how it can keep us awake. It robs our sleep by raising cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone. When it's perpetually, consistently high, it thins our skin. It thins our bones. It thins our hair. It causes us to age. Same thing as with sugar. If you're a sugar junkie and you're waking up in the middle of the night, it's because your cortisol is high. What happened? You had hypoglycemia in the middle of the night and your cortisol, your adrenals were forced to come in and save the day to help return your blood sugar levels back to normal. It's because of eating sugar or drinking alcohol, insisting on that dessert every day, insisting on that alcoholic beverage every day. That's what's sabotaging the efforts there. So consider all of this, that alcohol may be the last key in your equation if those pesky few pounds aren't coming off. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.